All right, Rebbe, say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Today's daf is Chav Gimel, our second to last blot in the Seches Makas. We are picking up 23. We are picking up from Chav Beis, Amud Beis, 22b, the Mishnah. So a lot to do today. Our shir this month is dedicated by Sammy and Malka Esterson in memory of their parents, Ludwig Stiefel, Yitzchok Leib, Ben Aaron HaKohen, and Hinda Esterson, Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim, opened on the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, and the families ain't Nechama. So we'll say with that, let's begin. Mishnah on Chaf Beis, Amud Beis, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. Ketzad Malkin also. But we'll say now the Mishnah discusses, what is the process for Malkus? What is the process for Malkus? How do we go ahead and give someone Malkus? Kofes Shtei Yadav Al Ha'amud. We tie his two hands around the pillar. Helech v'helech. So we'll say one hand on each side of the pillar. V'chazen ha'knesses ocheiz bibigadov. And we'll say the chazen ha'knesses, as we're going to see, pretty much is like the guy who is in charge, the man who's in charge of the Malkus division. Right? So apparently there were we'll see what division of responsibility in Bezdin. So this chazen ha'knesses is responsible again for the Malkus. So ocheis bebegadav, he takes hold of this person's clothing. Im nikru nikru, vim nifrumu nifrumu. We'll say if they tear, they tear. Nikra literally means to tear. Nifrumu means to tear on a seam. So what it means is, we're going to see Malkus are administered on the top part of the body without clothing. So they would remove the top part of a person's shirt. So the idea is they would remove it with force. So whether they would tear it, whether it would actually tear or tear on the seams, whatever happened. Achu magalas libo, until we go out and we uncover a person by their heart. So the top, above the waist, we go out and we uncover the individual. So the Gemara says, so remember again, there was a platform that was placed behind the person receiving Malkus. Chazen HaKnesses Omid Alav. So the Chazen HaKnesses would go ahead and stand on it. Uritzua biyado shel egel kefula echel shnayim shnayim larba. And we'll say they would take a whip. The whip was made from leather from a calf. And the leather itself was folded over multiple times. Ushtei ritzuos shel chamor, olos viyardos ba. And there were two leather straps from the hide of a donkey that went olos viyardos, that went up and down on the whip as well. Tefach, so the Gemara says, yada tefach, the handle of the whip was a tefach. Virachba tefach, the width of the whip was a tefach. Virosha magas al pi kreso. We'll say, so as we're going to see, at least according to this being in the Mishnah, the way that Malkus were administered was across the width of a person's back. So the idea is if you're whipping a person across the width of their back, the top of the whip would wrap around by the person's stomach. So the length of the whip must be such that when you whip him, so the whip goes around the whip goes across the width of the back, but wraps around and hits his stomach as well. Umakya also shlish milafanov, ushtei yados milachorov. We give him 1/3 of the Malkus on the front, on his chest, and 2/3 of the Malkus on his back. The inamaka also la omid velo yoshev elamuta. We don't administer Malkus to a person while they are standing or while they are sitting, rather when they're in a bent over state. Shene emar vehipilu hashofet. Supposed to say literally again, it's a little interpretation. Vehipilu hashofet means literally the shofet, the judge, will bend him over. Vahamake make biyado achos b'chol kocho. The person who is whipping whips the guilty party with one hand. So you don't whip with two hands; you whip with one hand. That, and with all of his might. Vakore kora, and both say, while the whipping is occurring, so the Chazen HaKnesses also reads psukim, or someone else reads psukim. And the psukim, which psukim do we read? In lo sishmor lasos, if you do not listen to the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, vehefla Hashem es makoscha, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause your makos to multiply. Vechazot tchilas hamikra. And I will say, what it sounds like over here is that we repeat this pasuk or these psukim over and over. Ushmartim es divrei habris hazos, vecholsim v'rachim yichaper avon. And I will say, we end the recitation ultimately again, v'rachim yichaper avon, he who is compassionate will atone for all sin. V'chozu etzchilas hamikra. And I will say, we repeat these psukim as much as necessary. If at the end of the day the person dies, right, the person dies, then the person, the chazan haknesses, the one administering malchus, is pater. I will say the idea over here is because the person administering malchus, we saw this before, because the person administering malchus is a shliach beizdin, person is doing what they are responsible to do, assuming that that the person did not administer extra malchus. Right? Remember again, if you administered extra malchus, that's problematic, but assuming he's administering the sanctioned number of malchus, if the defendant ends up dying, or if I should say, if the accused ends up dying, the chazak neses is potter. Hosef lo od ritzua achas umeis. However, again, if chas v'shalom, they added on one lash, and as a result of that, the person died, then hareze gola al yado. Then I will say, this is a case of killing someone b'shogeg, and you go to golus. Niskalkel, bein berei, bein b'mayim potter. I will say, if let's say during the flogging, so the guilty party ends up soiling himself. Literally, again, he urinates or he defecates, potter. Then Abbas said, you do not have to flog him anymore. Now, this is actually very interesting. If you look at the last Rivan on the page, Niskalkel potter, Dechsiv, V'nikla, Bahar Nikla. Abbas said, the entire point of Malchus is to degrade the perpetrator. Once a person has soiled himself, by definition, he is degraded. Once he's degraded already, there is no need for any further Malchus. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ha'ish Berei, Va'isha B'mayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends. He says, by a man is only considered to be degraded if he defecates upon himself. By an isha already, again, in general, we see that the covet of a woman is much more delicate. Once she soils herself, ultimately, by urinating, ultimately she's been degraded and there is no more need for malchus. So we'll say, the Tanakama doesn't make a difference between defecating or urinating. Tanakama feels once a person soils themselves in any way, they've been effectively degraded. No more malchus are necessary. Rabbi Yehuda makes a distinction between men and women. Okay, top of Chof Gimel. Both say, so my taima. So I want to say something interesting. The Bach takes out these words. The Bach takes out these words altogether. Meaning, my taima mishum nikla, because it's not clear from the Gemara what exactly the Gemara is referring to. My taima what? So we'll say, the Pashtos, the Ritvan others bring down, the Pashtos is, what the Gemara is saying over here is, what's the reason behind all of these different practices? To which the Gemara says, Mishum Nikla. Rabbi said, the idea behind Malchus is degradation. The idea behind Malchus is that it is supposed to be a degrading experience for the individual. This is the individual exhibited. Rabbi said, you know, sin, the underpinning of sin is gaiva. The underpinning of sin is arrogance. I sin because I'm arrogant. I sin because I think I am the most important person in the world. I am more important than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm more important than anything else. So therefore, the antidote or the remedy to sin, by definition, is humiliation. It's humiliation, because humiliation, nothing takes away arrogance like public humiliation. So since what the Gemara is saying is my time, what's the underpinning behind all these practices? Mishum Nikla. Ultimately, again, we are degrading or humiliating the individual as a form of his kapara. Amar Rav Sheshes, Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Minayim Ratzu Sheishal Egel. How do we know that the leather of the whip is made of a calf? Dichsiv Arboim Yakenu. Because we'll say the pasuk says, you shall go ahead and whip him 40 times. Again, like we saw yesterday, 49. V'samechlei, and I will say right after that, what does it say? Lo sachsum sharbedisho. Says you shouldn't muzzle, excuse me. Thank you. You shouldn't muzzle an ox when it threshes. So we'll say the juxtaposition of ox to whipping tells me that what? That the whip should be made from the calf skin. Once we're quoting Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, so the Gemara gives a couple of other halachas. How do we know that if a Yavam, remember again, man dies without children, his wife, there's a mitzvah for his wife to marry the brother-in-law. How do we know that if the surviving brother, literally mukashchin, means somebody who is covered in boils, means the guy is physically repulsive to the woman. How do we know that we don't force her to marry? Now, obviously, you can't force her to do anything. What it means is, how do we know that we don't try to silence her objections? Shin chos minosa. How do we know that if she says, listen, I don't find this guy attractive, I do not want to marry him, how do we know that we just accept it and we don't try to pressure her? Dichsiv Lo sachsom shar b'disho. The pasuk says, "Don't muzzle an ox when it threshes." V'samech le ki yeshvu achim yachdav. And then the pasuk says, "When brothers will live together." So we'll say the idea over here is there's a juxtaposition between muzzling and yibum, which tells me what? That in cases of yibum, we don't muzzle the woman. That if she says she doesn't want to marry the guy, then at the end of the day, we don't make her marry the guy. So we'll say, the common denominator over here is that these are all just statements said by Rav Sheshes in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What's next? Rabbi Elazar ever goes in and degrades the Amin Tovim, Kilo Ovid Avodah Zarah. Ultimately, again, it's as if he worships idolatry. And I will say, now what's the chap over here? So the idea is, it's much easier to be mevazeh yomim tovim, to degrade or disparage yom tovim than it is Shabbos. Why? Because at the end of the day, yom tov has lesser restrictions in certain respects. So therefore, again, how do we know that if somebody goes ahead and degrades the sanctity of the yomim tovim, it's as if he worships Avodah Zarah, dechsev, Elohei Masecha, lo sasalach, Pasuk says, "Don't worship Avodah Zarah." V'samech le eschag amatzos tishmar. And it will say, juxtaposed to the prohibition of idolatry is the obligation to go ahead and keep the Amim Tobim, specifically Pesach. So you see from here that whoever, again, it will say, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is darshaning smuchin. He's darshaning juxtapositions and telling me that juxtapositions ultimately, again, are significant. Furthermore, we'll say second wide line, Chaf Gimel Amad Aleph. V'amar Rav Sheshes, M'shom Elazar ben Azariah, Chala Masarper Lashon Hara, V'chala Mekab Lashon Hara, V'chala Meid Eder Sheker, Roi Lashlichol L'Klavim. We'll say, Hara, it's such a very dramatic statement. Hara, that anyone who speaks Lashon Hara, anyone who listens to Lashon Hara, and anyone who goes out and gives false testimony, should be thrown to the dogs. In other words, it's not good. Dichsiv, we'll say, where do I know that from? L'Kelev Tashlichon Oso. The Pasuk says, talking about again, talking about non-kosher meat, right? Meat that's nevela. Throw it to the dogs. V'samich lei lo sisa shma shav. And I'm about to say, the pasuk says after that, do not take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in vain, which by definition ultimately is referring to the pasuk, by the way, is altashas yadcha im rasha lios eit chamas. It's talking about false testimony. Kari beinami, and above, so the way we vocalize, lo si sa zosa, lo sa si. Literally, again, do not cause to be accepted. Do not cause slanderous reports to be accepted. Which Rabbi also means, don't speak Lashon Hara, don't listen to Lashon Hara. So all of these prohibitions are juxtaposed to Lakelav Tashlichon also, which shows you that if you speak Lashon Hara, listen to Lashon Hara, or give false testimony, a person should be thrown to the dogs. Ushtei Ritzuos, so what's remember again, the Mishnah said that the whip of Beis Din has two straps, two leather straps from the hide of a donkey. So Tana, Shel Chamar. So we'll say, you remember again, we learned that the leather straps ultimately again come from a donkey. Kididaresh Ugalila Aleidir of Chista. Why is it? We'll say, why is it that two of the straps ultimately come from the hide of a donkey? So the Gemara says, listen to this. Diyada Shar Kalnehu Vechamor Avos Avus Baalov Yisrael Lo Yada. We'll say, so the Navi says in Yeshaya, this is our Haftorah for Shabbat Shuvah. So the Navi says that the shard, even the ox, knows his master. The donkey knows the trough of his owner. And Yisrael does not know. In other words, what the Navi is lamenting is that even in the animal kingdom, there is a respect for authority. There is a respect for the master. Yet, why is it that Klal Yisrael doesn't seem to have the proper respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Therefore, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavo mi shemakir avuz ba'alov, let the one who recognizes the trough of his master come along. An exact punishment from the one who does not recognize the trough of his master. In other words, that the mussar over here is that the person who violated the avering is getting malchus, is going to get malchus with a whip that has two straps from the hide of a donkey. The donkey which recognizes its master, let that come along and whip the one who is defiant of his master. The Gemara goes weiter. Yada tefach. So remember again, the handle of the whip is a tefach. Amar Abaye Shmamino, Kol chad v'chad lefum gabei avdinale. So we see from here, by the way, that the whip, so to speak, had to be a little bit custom tailored. Why? Because again, the length of the whip had to be long enough to go across the width of a person's back and wrap around to their stomach. Obviously, that's a subjective shear depending on the size of the person. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rava, Imkein, Nafish Lurutsuo Stuva. If that's the case, Beis Din must have had many whips. In other words, if everybody needs a different size, there must have been many whips. To which the Gemara says, no. Amalei Rava, Avkasa Islei, Kibai Mikter Bei, Kibai Marapa. The boss is actually interesting. What they had is the whip had like a movable knot. So it had an adjustable knot that was able to adjust the length of the strap. So if somebody was wider, they would make the straps longer, the handle smaller. If somebody was shorter, they'd make the handle longer, the straps lesser. Okay? So the Gemara says, goes weiter. Malkinoso, Menahani Mili. So I'll say, ultimately, yes. Remember, now the Mishnah said, Malkinoso, when they would go ahead and they would give Malkis, so they would bend the person over. The person would be like in a bent over posture. So where do we know this? From Menahani Mili. Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Kra, Vihipilu HaShofet. So I'm sorry, I take it back. So the Gemara says over here, the Gemara is actually quoting from here, the Gemara says, Makya oso shlish mi lefanav ushtei yados mi laachorav. We'll say the idea is two halachas over here. Number one, 1/3 of the lashes would be given on his chest, 2/3 on his back, and then also, again, he would be in a bent over posture when administering these malchus. So I'm going to hand him here. We'll say, where do we know this from? So the Gemara says, I'm going to have kind of damakra v'pilu hashofet v'ko lefanav kidei rishaso b'mispar. Risha achas midafana. So we'll say we dash in from here. Literally, risha achas. One risha on the front. Shtei rishuyos miachorav. Two rishuyos on the back. So we'll say, so from here we dash in 1/3 of the malchus across the chest. 2/3 of the malchus on the back. Ein malkin also. So the Amrav Ches, Amrav Yochanan. Minayim l'ritzu shehi mechupelas. How do we know that the strap of the whip has to be doubled over? In other words, we both say that we don't hit with just an outstretched strap. Either we take the leather strap and we bend it over, we fold it over. How do we know that? Shneimar v'hi pilo, because the pasuk says you shall bend it over. So the Gemara says, 1 second. V'harmi b'alei l'gufei, but that v'hi pilo rabbi says teaches me something else, which is what? That when we go out and we whip the person, they're in a bent over posture. So that doesn't teach me ultimately again about. That doesn't teach me about the whip. That teaches me about the person. Imkel lichtov kra yatehu. If that's the case, let the pasuk say he will be bent over. My hipilo shema minatarti. Also, we learn that the fact that Torah uses lashon of hipilo teaches me two things. Number one, that the person is bent over. Number two, that the whip is folded over as well. So the Gemara goes later. Hamake make biyado. So also remember again, the person administering the lashes. Only whips with one hand. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Ma'amidin Chazanin. This is very interesting. So who were the people who would actually administer the Malkis? Here we see a fundamental machlokes. So Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Ma'amidin Chazanin, Ela Chasire Koach V'Yisire Mada. So we'll say the Rabbanan said that the people who would administer the Malkis would be people who are Chasire Koach. We'll say Chasire Koach means weak. Weak people without really incredible physical strength. The Yisiri Mada, but exceptionally smart. I'll say, what does that mean? So weak, because this way again, the Malkis don't hurt as much. So Yisiri Mada, that they were smart to recognize that, you know what, we have to punish, but we should punish with Rachmanis. So weak, so we'll say weak in physical prowess, but strong ultimately in intellect. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, who this is, no, we don't care. Afilu chasire mada v'yisere koach. They can even be people who aren't exceptionally bright and are exceptionally strong. Rabbi Yehuda says, we do not, there's no hakpada as to who administers the malchus. Whoever administers the malchus, meaning there is a protocol for how you administer malchus that's not subject to the particular individual who is administering it. So the Gemara goes weiter. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Kavasi Rabbi Huda Mistabra. It would appear that Rabbi Huda is right, that again, I will say, we don't care who's administering the Malkus, whether he's strong and smart, strong and not so smart, or weak and very smart, it doesn't make a difference. So Rava says, we seem to be halachas like Rabbi Huda, Tiksiv, Lo Yosef, Pen Yosef. Because we'll say, the pasuk says that when Beis Din goes ahead and establishes how many malchus the person is supposed to receive, you are not permitted to add on to that number of malchus. So if you say that even not so bright people could administer malchus, And then I understand, Rabbi Osai, why the Torah needs to warn the individual not to give additional lashes. Why? Because if the guy giving the malchus is not the brightest of individuals, he needs to be reminded that he can't give any additional malchus. But if the halacha is like the Rabbanon, that only the brightest people could administer malchus, then what? Do they need to be warned that you can't administer additional malchus? Or pashas not? Rabbi Osai, listen to this. The Rabbanon say no. Even if they're the brightest people, they still should be warned. Why? Rabbi Osai is very profound. A mizarzin ela mizuras. Rabbi Osai, you only give instruction to those who are zoriz themselves. The Rabbanon say a very profound idea. People who are not bright, or people who choose not to be bright, don't really take direction. Wise people take direction. Someone who's not wise, Rabbi Osai, is going to do whatever when the Gemara talks about somebody who is chasirei mada, it doesn't mean a person who didn't do well in school. Right? It doesn't mean a person who's, not the most intellectually astute. Chasirei mada means people who don't listen. There are some people, Rabbi Osai, who feel they know everything. They've got everything figured out. And that's why, again, generally those people, when they get musr, right? What do they do when they get musr? Right? What do most of us do when we get musr? We deflect it. I don't need this. This is for someone else. I'm Baruch Hashem. I'm totally fine. That's chasirei mada. So the Gemara says over here. So also said the Havamina is that if the Torah has to give Musar, it must be because the person administering Malchus is not very bright. To which the Rabbanan say, no, fakir, just the opposite. The Torah gives Musar because the assumption is that what? That the person who's giving the Malchus will heed the Musar. Because only wise people heed Musar. Foolish people, when they get the Musar, simply deflect. Simply say, why don't you tell this to someone else? Why don't you give this to someone else? For the Rabbanan, in Mizaraz in Elam Zuras, we only give Musar to the one ultimately, again, who's going to be receptive to it. Tana, Kishumagbia. By the way, the Rambam Paskins like the Rabbanon. That in fact, when choosing a person to do Malchus, so we'll say what we look for is someone who's exceptional. When we say exceptionally bright, again, this is not like test scores. This is just someone ultimately, again, who understands that there's a need to punish, but at the same time, again, whatever we could do with Rachmanis, we're going to do with Rachmanis. That's what it means when it's a wise person. And we're not looking for the strongest person. Fakert, we're looking sometimes, again, for even a weaker individual. So it says the Gemara Tana, Kishu magbia magbia b'shtei yada. Rabbi Osai, when he goes ahead and he picks up the whip with two hands. Ukishu make make b'yado achas. When he actually administers the lashing, that's done with one hand. Kihechi delese medidei. Rabbi Osai, the chap over here is a little bit of just the opposite we said. We just said that we want the flogger to ultimately again be chasire koach, a little bit weaker, but yet the malchus still have to be ishtark. They have to be with strength. So the idea of Rabbi Osai, if you bring down the whip with two hands, that is not as strong as bringing down the whip with one hand. So the idea is if you're looking to get height, you could bring up the whip with two hands, but lamaisik, and when you come down, you only could come down with one hand, so that the full strength of the flogger is felt by the guilty party. Va'kori kori, tana rabbanan, hagodusha b'dayana kori. So we'll say, listen to this. So there were a number of dayanan involved in this process of malchus. So the greatest judge, he would be the one who would read the psukim. Hasheni mona, the second judge would count the number of lashes. Hashlishi omer hiko, the third judge would say, flog, lash, right? He would go ahead, I guess he would be the one who would yell out the command to hit every time. Bizman shemake meruba, marich. Bizman shemake mu'etes mikatzes. So we'll say, remember again, in the midst of all this flogging, they're reading psukim. When there were a lot of lashes, so the reader would elongate, protract the reading. When there were a small amount of malchus, he would read faster. But one second, but we learned in the Mishnah that he could repeat the psukim as often as he needs. In other words, the Mishnah said that if he finishes the psukim before the malchus are finished, he goes back to the beginning of the psukim, which seems to indicate to us what? That lamais again, they would just read the psukim over and over. Mitzvah tzamtzem. To which the Gemara says, you're right, but there's a mitzvah, if possible, to be exact. If possible, if you could time the reading of the psukim to correspond to the malchus, that's best. V'ilo tzimtzem, choz v'tchas hamikra. And at the end of the day, however, again, if you were not exact, then you go back, you just repeat the psukim. Ten rabbanam. Make rabba. Sivos, now listen to this. So the pasuk says that you should give him you should give him 40 malchus, but you should not add on al ilam makarabba. You should not add on to the 40 malchus makarabba, a great amount of lashes. Ainli ela makarabba. So Sivos, I only know that you can't add on a significant number of lashes to the predetermined amount of lashes. How do I know that I'm not even allowed to add on one lash? Or it's not just I'm not allowed to add on a lot of lashes, even one lash I can't add on. Talmud Lomar Alo Yosef. Therefore, I will say the pasuk says he can't add on. If that's the case, then why does it say makirabo? Limate al rishonos shein makirabo. Rabbosai teaches me that for the first set of malchus, I should do it with all of my strength. That those should be a makirabo. So we'll say makirabo is not necessarily a statement that speaks about the number of malchus, but rather speaks about the intensity. So we'll say, you see like this interesting dialectic. On one hand, again, we're trying to punish with rachmanis. So therefore, again, you know, when administering the lashes, we're going to go ahead and do so with what? We're going to find the guy who's not the strongest guy. But yet on the flip side, when the malchus are being given, the malchus are given with strength. Interesting dialectic. Niskalko. So, boss, I remember again, now we come to this interesting machlokes in the Mishnah. So, remember again, the Mishnah said the following. If during the course of malchus, a person soils themselves, so by definition, we stop the malchus. Why? Because the entire point of malchus is degradation. That's the entire point. Once a person soils themselves, then by definition, again, they've been effectively degraded. We then saw machlokes in the Mishnah about how this manifests itself. Tanakhama says, whether a person soiled themselves by urinating or defecating, they're pata from the rest of the malchus, no distinction between men and women. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says that a man is only pata from the rest of the malchus if he defecates, a woman is pata from the malchus even if she just urinates. So the Gemara says, fine, ten rabbanon. Echada ish ve'echada isha bere'i velo b'mayim div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, you're only pata from the rest of malchus if literally you soil yourself through defecation but not through urination. As Rabbi Meir means to say that if a person urinates, that's not enough of a degradation that should stop the malchus. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ha'ish Berei, Fa'ish Shebamayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, we'll stop the malchus for a man if he defecates, for a woman if she urinates. Chacham the Chum say, Echad Ha'ish Ve'echad Ha'ish Ha'bein Berei, Be'emayim. The Chachamim say, no, doesn't make a difference. Whether it's a man or a woman, defecation, urination, once a person soils themselves, they've been effectively degraded. There's no need for any more malchus. Ayva Tanya, but we learned. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad Ha'ish Ve'echad Ha'ish Ha'berei. But yet we have Rabbi Yehuda on record saying that both men and women, right, we only stop the malchus if they soil themselves through defecation. So that contradicts what Rabbi Yehuda just said above. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Shnehen Shavin Berei. What Rabbi Yehuda meant to say is both men and women are equivalent to one another with defecation, which means that if they defecate, both men and women will be parted from the rest of the malchus. Amar Shmuel. Now here's some interesting cases. Kafsua Baratvi Bezin. Listen to this case. Let's say they tied the guy to the pole. Remember again, as you saw in the Mishnah, in order to give malchus, we tie him to the pole, right? We tie his hands to they have like a flogging post. They tie his hands to the pole. Let's say again, he escaped from Beis Din after being tied to the pole. Now, I don't know what this means. Whether this means that like, he picked up the pole and is running out of Beis Din, or Bepashas again, whatever he did, he slid his hands off. The point is, he escaped from Beis Din after he was tied to the pole. Potter. It was actually very interesting. He is Potter from the rest of malchus. Or I should say differently, he's pater from malchus. So I will say, so the assumption over here is why. Remember again, if he's escaping from Beis Din, I will say, what does he look like at this point in time? Right? His shirt's off, meaning his shirt is already torn. So the point over here is, it's embarrassing. People are gonna see him running out, hands tied, clothing torn, he's been degraded. So it sounds like what it's saying is, he's already suffered humiliation, and therefore, by definition, he is pater from the rest of malchus. Meisvei, the Gemara says, one second, I'm going to raise a kasha. Kala, bein barishon, bein mishniya, potrin also. We'll say, if a person, a kala, we'll say, literally means, kala means that halacha lemaaseh, a person degraded themselves by soiling themselves. Take a look at Rashi. Kala, niskalkel berei. person soiled themselves. Velishna dekra nakat v'nikla lashon zilzul. Bein berishona, bein bishniya. Poskin also. Look at the Rivan again. Bein berishona, bein bishniya. Bein kodim sheikol klal. Bein laachar sheikol. Vahin rishona, hagbar rishona, shemagbiya yidol yalakos. In niskalkal bos agbos. Machmas pachan. O niskalkal bagbos shniya, dahin laachar sheikol. Bos, listen to this. Person's tied to the pole, and they lift the whip. So whether they lifted the whip before the first lash, or before the second lash, and a person soiled themselves, they are putter from the rest of the malchus. Now the novelty in this ruling is the following. That you could have a situation where a person, just because of the fear of malchus, has soiled themselves. Meaning again, so the Chazon HaKnesses has the whip raised. The guy hasn't even gotten one lash, but he soiled himself. What's the halacha? He's parted from the rest of the malchus. Nifseka ritzua. Well, so listen to this. Whip broke. Whip malfunction. Right? Let's say again the whip broke. So what's the halacha? Vishniya pochinoso, bro rishona ain't pochinoso. So we'll say, if he got one lash, then we exempt him from the rest of the malchus. Whereas once he's gone ahead and gotten one of the malchus, then lemaisa again, we don't administer any of the rest of the malchus. However, again, if the whip broke before a lash, even one lash was administered, then the mice, again, we'll get another whip. We flog him. So the Gemara says, Amai lehavi kirat. So we'll say, I don't understand. Why is that? Why should, we'll say, why, that case ultimately, again, of where the whip broke even before one lash, that should at least be the equivalent of what? Of a case where a guy ran out of Beis Din. I was about to say, the case of where the guy ran out of Beis Din also is a case where there were no malchus. The process started. He escaped before the process started. And he's putter. Yet again, in the case of where they're about to flog the guy, the whip breaks before the first lash. That should be like Ratzmi Beis Din. He should be putter as well. Yet, what does the Brisa say? That if the whip broke before the first lash, what's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? We get another whip and we whip him. To which the Gemara says, Hacharatz, Hachalurats, no, you're missing, they're not the same. He'll say, when a guy runs out of Beis Din with his clothing torn, his hands tied together, that's humiliating. The guy is in Beis Din and the whip breaks before the first lash, there's not the same level of humiliation in that. Tan Rabbanan, Amdua, Lichishayilke Kala, or Lichishayilke Yikle, Pochrinosa. Now, both say, this price that contradicts what we just said before. What we just said before, I will say, is the following. Well, let's read it. If, let's say, Beis Din made the assessment that as soon as this guy gets whipped, he will soil himself. However they made that assessment. That as soon as he goes in and gets whipped, he'll soil himself, potrin also. Then ultimately, again, they will pater him from Malchus. Rashi says, V'chishiyetze mi Beis Din kala, Malkin also. However, again, if they say that Lamaisa again, so say something interesting, that this price seems to indicate that if we go ahead and we assess that Lamaisa upon the first lash, he will go ahead and he will soil himself, we patter him from Malchus. This contradicts what we said before, because beforehand what we said is that in order for a person to be exempt from Malchus through soiling himself, what has to happen? He has to actively have received the lash. There's a fundamental machlokas as to whether or not essentially soiling yourself before Malchus is enough to pater you from Malchus or not, or ultimately, again, must the soiling come as a result of actual Malchus? That's the fundamental machlokas between these brisos. So the Gemara goes right. The Gemara says, "V'lo od el afilu kala b'tchila." I'm sorry. So I'll say, listen to this. So I'm jumping ahead. Amdulecha sheyilke yiklep turinosa pochinosa. We'll say ultimately, again, if Beis Din assesses that lemaisa again, when he gets Malchus, he'll soil himself. He's pater. However, again, if they say after we give him Malchus and he leaves Beis Din, then he'll soil himself. Malkin also, we give him Malchus. V'lo'od, el afilu kala b'tchila Malkin also. It wasn't only that, but even if we go ahead, even if he goes ahead and he soils himself in the beginning, we still give him Malchus. I will say, now this is the contradictory case. In this case over here, he's getting Malchus, he's soiling himself even before he received Malchus. Nevertheless, the Braisa says that what? We still flog him. Ultimately, again, it's only if the Malchus causes his degradation is he exempt from the rest of the Malchus. But if he degrades himself proactively before the Malchus, he's not exempt. So just pointing out, we end off over here with just the Machlokes. Is what we'll call soiling prior to Malkus, enough to exempt him from Malkus or not? This latter brisa clearly indicates no. The previous brisa indicates yes. Mishnah. Kol chai v'kriso shalako niftri yidei krisasim. I'll say an amazing, amazing Mishnah. If a person, I'll say, let's say, did something that makes them chayiv karis. I'll say a person eats on Yom Kippur. Eating on Yom Kippur has a chayiv karis. A person has relations with his sister. Chayiv karis. So I'll say, the Mishnah seems to say the following. That if a person gets malchus, violated an iser karis, and gets malchus, niftru yidei krisasim. You are pater from your kares after you get malchus. In other words, we both say that malchus is a punishment which remedies your kares liability. Shene emar, v'nikla achicha le'einecha. So we both say, literally again, your brother ultimately again will get malchus, will be degraded in front of you. Kishalaka, the way we darshan is, once he gets malchus, harehu ke'achicha. He is like your brother again. In other words, that malchus remedies the chiyiv kares. Divrei Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, va'amar Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, ma'ima over avera achas notel nafsho aleha. So we'll say, so Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel says, you know, we see if for an avera, there are certain averas, Rabbi Chananya, that cost you your life, certain averas ultimately again that cost you your life. If that's so, ha'osa mitzvah achas, alachas kama v'kama. Rabbi Chananya, if commission of particular averas cost you your life, imagine the amount of schar one gets for the performance of a mitzvah. So the Gemara, alachas kama v'kama, shetinasin lo nafsho. All the more so, again, how much schar you will get for that mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon, so we'll say the idea over here that Ivan points out, nida tova, meruba amidas poranos. That the idea in general is, the Ribbono Shel Olam's positive midos, in other words, his mida of payment for a mitzvah, always overshadows the mida of punishment. So if there are veros for which I lose my life, imagine how much restorative power mitzvos have. Rabbi Shimon says, we learn it from the very pasuk, Shenemar, v'nichrasu hanefashos ha'osos. The pasuk says, ultimately again, for the performance of certain averos, there's kares, va'omer, amud bezer will say, ashrei ya'asa osa adam v'chai bahem. I will say, ultimately the pasuk then says, praiseworthy is the person, right, who performs these mitzvos, the chai bahem, and lives by them. Ha kol ayoshi v'lo avar averos. So say, what do we see from here? Nebosai, the pasuk says, "Ashe yasa osa adam l'chay b'ahem." Praiseworthy is the person who performs these mitzvos and lives through them. Nebosai, right after that is the section of arayos. Right after that is the section of prohibited relationships. So we'll say, now, interestingly enough, the commandment when it comes to prohibited relationships, Rabbi says, is a shevi al tas. In other words, the idea is that I'm permitted to engage in these prohibited relationships. What do you see from here? Hakala yoshe velo avar avera. Rabbi says, what you learn from here is, whoever sits and does not violate an avera. In other words, Rabbi says, the ability to abstain from performing an avera, nostin lo schar ke ose mitzvah. Rabbi says, this is the best gemara. If you sit and don't commit an avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me the schar as if I have performed the mitzvah. We'll say, which, do you understand what this means? Every single moment of every single day, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, that I don't engage in an act of incest, in an act of adultery, or in any of the other arayos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me a mitzvah. We'll say, which, by the way, This is an incredible deal, right? I'm saying like this is an exceptional idea that Gemara is saying over here is that I get schar for every moment that I don't engage in averus. They'll say, obviously, that's not enough. That's not the kind of schar I want to subsist on. I want to generate the schar ultimately again that comes from kuma says, that comes from positive dynamic activity, but to recognize that the Rachman of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the divine compassion is such that for every moment I don't violate an avera, ultimately again HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me schar. Also the Gemara goes like, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Omer, Hareyu Omer, Rak Chazak Levoltiach Cholas Adam, Ke Adam Hu HaNefesh. So we'll remember again, what does the Rak Dosha tell me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, be strong, don't eat blood. Be strong, don't eat blood. They both say, now the truth is, if we're honest, for most of us, this is not our biggest struggle. This is not the nisayon that's been plaguing me throughout life. When it comes to blood, which there is a natural repulsivity, I know that's not a word, but I'm going to use it anyway. Right? There's a natural repulsivity to blood. Right? Nobody really has yitzhar to eat. Normal people don't have yitzhar to eat blood. And yet, Hashem Baruch Hu says that if I don't eat blood, I get schar, gezel, theft, arayos, immorality, shenaf shosha adam isavilohem. Bosei, there are other averos that I want very badly, theft, immorality, umachmados and uporish mehen, alachas kama vakama shiyiskelo, uladorosav, uladoros dorosav ad ksof kaladoros. Bosei, wow, what a gemara. So the gemara says over here, if when it comes to blood, which man does not really have a natural desire for, yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's incredible schar for not eating blood. They both say theft, immorality, all of the other stuff that we have a burning desire to do. Imagine the schar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us when we resist the temptation. That schar is felt by Misha Yiskelo, the Dorosav, future generations, Doros Dorosav, generations of generations, Ad Sof Kol Hadoros. Until the end of all of the generations. We'll say that's the schar we get for resisting the temptation to engage in arayos, in gezel, in all of the things that we yearn for each and every day. We'll say, look how the Gemara ends off. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Omer, right? No Kaddish to Rabbanon after this, right? Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha says, Ratzah Kaddish Baruch Hu Lezako Ses Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to literally enrich us. Lezako Ses Yisrael. Lefichach. Here, Balaam Torah mitzvos. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us many Torah and mitzvos. Shene Emar. What Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha is addressing is, why 613? Come on. Right? Listen, the Gentiles have their hands full with seven. Right? So you want to give us 9, you want to give us 10, you want to give us 22, fine. 613, what's the pshat? So Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha says, understand, the additional number of mitzvos is for our benefit. It's for our benefit. Look at the Rivan for just a moment. Lezako says Yisrael. It's the second white line above it from the top. Kadesh shiyu mekablin schar b'mashemonin atzamin aver. So also listen to this. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us so many prohibitions. Do you know why? Because every moment I don't violate the prohibition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me schar. Lefichach, here b'lohen shlo hayetzarech litzavos kama mitzos. The kamas haros ashkatzim nevelo shein lecha adam sheino katz bahen elikidiv sheikablu schar shemoshen rabbi Chananya ben Akasha. Just understand, we often think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us this incredible, overwhelming amount of mitzvos, and it's an all and it's a yoke that sits on top of us. Understand, it's a benefit to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this to benefit us, because the more mitzvos we have, the more opportunities for schar we have. Shneamar Hashem chafetz leman sidko yagdil Torah viadir. Gimara. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Chalukim alav chavera Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. So both Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel's friends disagreed with him. I'm Rav Ad Barava. I'm Rabbi Rav. Taninan ein bein Shabbos and Yom Kippurim. There is no distinction between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Elo shezez adonu b'day Adam shezez adonu b'day Karis. So both say except that Shabbos is punished b'day Adam, Yom Kippur is punished with Karis. Vimisa, and if Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, if you were correct, then indeed whenever there's a din kares, you get Malkus, and Malkus remedies the kares. Idivi de Adamu, then both Shabbos and Yom Kippur are both punished. Bide Adam, Shabbos is punished by Misa bide Adam, and kares is punished with what, Rabbi say? Malkus bide Adam. So Rav Nachman, so the Gemara says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Omer, Hamani Rav Yitzchaki, Dharma Malkus Bechaive Krisos Leka. You're right, Inachinami, this price reflects the view of Rabbi Yitzchak, who holds that there is no din of Malkus by Kares. Disanya, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Chayve Krisos Bechlal Hayu. So we'll say in general again, we spoke about Chayve Krisos in a general way. V'lama Yatasa Kares Bacho. So we'll say, the Torah says that in general, all prohibited, all arayos are punished with kares. Yet the Torah then spells out that incest with one's sister is punishable by kares. So we'll say, why does the Torah single out achoso? La dona b'kares of la b'malkus. To teach me that she's punished with kares and not malkus. So we'll say, once it singles out a sister, it also tells me that what? That any other kares prohibited relationship or any other kares prohibited infraction is also not given malkus. Rav Ashi Marafilu Tim Rabbanon. It can even be the Rabbanon. Ze'i ikar zedonu b'dei Adam. Ve'ze'i ikar zedonu b'dei Shinar. We'll say the way you also read the Brisa is that by Shabbos, the ikar punishment is carried out b'dei Adam. By Yom Kippur, the ikar punishment is carried out b'dei Shemaim, even though there is a b'dei Adam component with malkus. Rav Ad Bar Ava Amar Rav Halacha Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. So we'll say ultimately again, Rav Ad Bar Ava Sederim of Rav, the Halacha of Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. We'll say that what? The Halacha Lameisa again, when a person violates a Kari's bearing prohibition, we give them Malkus. So we'll say that indeed, by the way, is Halacha Lameisa. That when somebody violates something that is a Kari's bearing prohibition, Bezin will give them Malkus. So Rabbi said, listen to this. So Amar Rav Yosef, Man Salik Le'ila Va'asa Va'amar. Rabbi said, listen to this. So Rabbi Yosef says, who went up to Shamayim and told you that this is good? So remember again, Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel doesn't just simply say that when you violate a Kares bearing prohibition, you get Malkus. What else does he say? That it atones for you. That you get Malkus, and the Malkus atones for your Kares. So ask Rabbi Yosef, tell me, who spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about this? Right? Who had a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Just to tell me again, to say that God forgives you for your Kares once you get Malkus, who says? Who said that? So Gemara says, Avam Le Abaye, Elohadam Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. But what's this? This is what I'll say. But Abaye said, one second. What about Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shlosha Dvarim Asu Bezin Shalmata, Vieskimu Bezin Shalmala. There are three things, Rabbi Osai, that Beis Din Shalmata, the earthly Beis Din, did, that were agreed upon by the Beis Din Shalmata, that were agreed upon by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Osai, what are they? So the Gemara says, V'skiya Beis Din Shalmata, Al-Yadam. Man Salik Le'ila Va'asa. So Rabbi Osai, in these things, three things, who went up to Shemaim to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with these things, which we'll discuss? The Ella, so the Gemara says, Ella Kra Kadashinan, Hach Enami Krai Kadashinan. Rabbi Osai, rather again, what it means is, that in these three situations, as we're about to learn, Beis Din Darshan Psukim, and Beis Din Drashan Psukim understood that what they were doing was the Ratzon Hashem. So to Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, Darshan Psukim, to say that what Rabbi say, even after you go ahead and you violate Kares, you get Malkus. But remember again, what does the Pasuk say by Malkus? It says, V'nikla Achicha, after you get Malkus, you're once again my brother. Right after I get Malkus, I'm once again a brother. And therefore again, Halach L'maisa, Rabbi Chananya only learns out from that, that even for Kares, once you get Malkus, Malkus is a restorative cathartic punishment for Malkus, which redeems you from your Kares. So Moshe, I say the idea of it, that's what it means. He dashed in the Pasuk, and the fact that he found the drasha in the Pasuk indicates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with the drasha as well. And Rabbi Yosef, watch this, Gufa. So Rabbi Yosef, now we're going back for just a moment and saying the following. Rabbi Yosef, there are three things that were done by the Beis Din, by a human Beis Din that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with. What were the three things? Elohein, Mikra Megillah. Rabbi Yosef, the reading of the Megillah. She'ilas Shalom. Rabbi Yosef, Shalom B'Shem means, if you look at the Rivan, it's almost right across. Shalom Shalom B'Shem, the Mutal Adam Lishal B'Shalom Chavero. B'Shem, Kigon, Yosim Hashem Alecha, Shalom, Vein Mamushim Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatal. Rabbi Yosef, listen to this. The fact that we greet each other today, Rabbi Yosef, how? Shalom Aleichem. Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are greeting one another with God. Rabbi Yosef, that's why you can't say Shalom Aleichem in the bathroom. In general, one should not converse in the bathroom. The halacha is one shouldn't talk in the bathroom unnecessarily, but you certainly can't say Shalom Aleichem, because Shalom, Rabbi Yosef, is the name of the Ribono Shel Olam. So therefore, again, I would have to have a, the Havamina is, that what? That you shouldn't be able to say Shalom Aleichem. Why not, Rabbi Yosef? Because Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're careful with how we use the name of God. I would have thought of Shem Shemayim Levatala. Yet again, we'll see, Beis Din Institute, that you could greet someone with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'havas Meiser. And ultimately, again, Rabbi Yosef, Havas Meiser. Havas Meiser, Rashi points out over here, that if you look at Rivan for just a moment, we'll read this. Havas Meiser, Kidamina B'Yavamis, De Ezra HaSofer, Kansinu Leleviim, Lefi Shelo Alu Ima. Rabbi Yosef, remember again, When Ezra comes back, when they come back for the second Beis HaMikdash, so remember again, Kohanim came, Yisraelim came, who didn't come? Who didn't come? The Levium. There were up to almost like no Levium present. Ezra penalized the Levium, and he said, you guys have lost your Maaser Rishon. What did he command to be done to the Maaser Rishon? He commanded it to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and ultimately, again, it would be consumed by the Kohanim. L'fishlo alim v'tzivo l'havi kol ha-maisros al-lishkas Beis Hashem v'yokohanim v'alavim shavim maiser rishon. K'dichsiv, Bezer Sobosa, the idea over here is, he commanded ultimately, again, all the maiser rishon to be brought to Yerushalayim, ultimately. Sobosa, these are the three takonas that were made by different batei din that were blessed by God. In other words, the acts were blessed by God. Number one, Mikra Megillah. Number two, greeting people with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number three, bringing Maaser Rishon to the Beis HaMikdash so it can be consumed by the Kohanim. So we'll stop over here. The Meretz Hashem continue with this tomorrow. Just stay tuned for the WhatsApp. I think we're probably going to start 5:45 tomorrow morning with the Daf in Meretz Hashem in order to be able, tomorrow's the last Daf of Maseches Makis. But well, I'll send out the message a little bit later in Meretz Hashem. Shkoyach.
A man flogged a woman.
And In terms of the tzniyus of that, so actually, I was going to make reference to it. We'll discuss that.
And is the flogger not a professional flogger? Or was he